All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Thursday, March 30th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
James Davis.
And we are going to be breaking down a Thursday in the NBA. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to help you get started, keep winning, continue on in your journey through DFS for FanDuel and DraftKings. You head over to the site, DFSR.com/membership, and you can grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system. That's powered by Lineup Lab, Optimal Lineups, NBA for FanDuel and DraftKings. If you sign up now, I think I can't do it now.
Wait a second. You can actually get a bigger deal than usual because baseball season is right around the corner here, and we're actually offering, I don't even want to say it though because it's too good a deal, a 10-day free trial. So you can sign up now, get the weekend of basketball, you can get the first week of baseball. That deal is going to go dark at like midnight tonight, I think, and then we'll probably run one more deal like on Sunday, but it won't be as good. So, yeah, 10-day free trial. If you go to dfsr.com/MLB, though, MLB, Major League Baseball, you'll still get access to all the sports that we offer. But, yeah, you'll get a much longer trial. So go check it out.
Look at that. I learned something today. I did not know that. And I know it now, and I feel like a better
person.
That's
typical. When like, you have a supervisor, they don't always tell you like every last thing they're up to. But, you know, sometimes that information trickles in.
Oh, I'm more of just like a big picture guy. So I would never, ever spend my time thinking about like
digging through the dirt.
Should be a 7-day trial or a 10-day trial?
What kind of soap are we using on the dishes in the restaurant? Like that kind of thing. It's like, I don't know. Are the dishes clean? That sounds great. I trust your
touch. We call that James work. That's James work.
It is actually James work. No doubt about that.
All right, let's. No one cares. Let's. Well, maybe you care if you're going to sign up. Otherwise, you probably don't. All right,
yeah, tons of people care.
Five games in the NBA tonight. Some interesting matchups that we can get into. 7:30 start. So set your clocks a little differently. Make up your excuses for a half hour later than usual.
Right.
So you get the 7:30 main slate. But it starts off with Detroit and Brooklyn. Obviously, every time Brooklyn's on going here, we want to target the team playing against them. Detroit is the case here. The prices have come up a little bit. One of your thoughts here, Ish Smith, he has taken – it doesn't seem – first of all, do you think Reggie Jackson's going to play? I guess we should start there.
No, I don't. I know there's some debate about this, and you know it's kind of worthless speculating at this hour because if you're making your lineups at 9:30 Eastern, then you've probably already lost, unless apparently someone pointed out she had left in our lineup – from 10:30 yesterday, and it wound up scoring almost 360 fantasy points on FanDuel. So maybe you should just make your lineups at 9:30. But all kidding aside, I don't think he's going to play. I think Ish will be an excellent play against Brooklyn. If Jackson does play, I suspect he'll come off the bench with the knee thing, in which case Ish just still might be a good play. But yeah, I actually don't think that matters maybe quite as much as it seems like right now.
Yeah, I suspect if he's going to get the start, he'll probably be a chalk play, at least on FanDuel, where he's still only 5,300. And if we have him for 32 minutes right now, I'll probably end up bumping that up to like in the 33 range. For guys like him, it feels like I'm stumbling all over the place here, but does it make sense where he's against Brooklyn, you think he's going to be a chalk play? Maybe the system's like close on him and a couple of their point guards. Do you feel comfortable in situations like that, like bumping him up just to kind of make him the clear-cut play, if that's what I'm making sense, like what I'm asking there?
Yes. I mean, the thing about it tonight, actually, is that there's actually a huge drop-off in my mind between the top plays and then the guys after that. And in my mind, I don't think you can go too terribly wrong going Ulis and Smith. I think almost everyone's going to go Ulis and Smith. FanDuel's just like, whatever, we're not going to price Ulis any higher than he is now.
Right.
Just going to play 42 minutes a game and just have fun, enjoy it. It's our gift to you for the end of the season or something. In reality, of course, it's just no gift to anybody because just everybody plays the guy. But anyway, back-to-back performances on 6x points per dollar for him. So he'll be there. Ish. And then after that, I think you take on quite a bit more risk. You go down to like Jeremy Lin, mm-hmm. Which, you know, also in this game could be a fine play for sure. But if you're going to see, I don't think you're going to need to go to any great pains to get Ish in the lineup, because I think it'll at the very least be very close between him and Lin. And in my mind, Lin feels a little bit less safe just because the matchup going the other way is quite a bit worse. Although, you know, Ish is a worse defender than Jackson, too. So maybe that makes up the difference. But I would take the security of the Detroit situation if Jackson were to sit over the uncertainty but upside of the Lin situation.
The rest of the Pistons are probably in play as well. KCP still coming pretty cheap on FanDuel, only 4,700. Marcus Morris, I think, is topping out.
Yeah, up and down that lineup, there's a lot of great value.
They did start John Lohr last game over Harris. That's always a situation that's in flux. I'm not sure if they do that by matchup or just Stan Van Gundy just hates kind of both of those guys. And us, man. Yeah, right. So that's actually one you can – if Harris were to definitely get the start, then I'd probably feel comfortable with that. Lohr is not as safe to me, but basically everyone from Detroit – in play here. You mentioned Jeremy Lin. He's probably still an okay play, though I would be hard-pressed to spend 600 more on him than Ish for around the same price. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely feel the same way, and with the safety considerations I mentioned as well. The other interesting thing about this game is it might feature the only two playable centers on the slate in Lopez and Drummond. There are obviously other guys going tonight. Like, you know, you could play... And I take it back. A lot of people play Towns against the Lakers too, but you know, those are two very, very attractive options to me, particularly on their price points. Like, there's some other good guys like DeAndre, but I'm not really in the camp of paying him 7,900. Well, you don't actually have to pay him. Playing him for 7,900 for a 34 fantasy points a game season average. So, you know, if you're kind of with me there, Nurkic kind of seems overpriced these days, even in a reasonable matchup. I do think you get two very good options there. And I would lean Drummond there from a safety perspective, again, just because the matchup is so much better, understanding that you take on some inherent risks with him in terms of late-game playing time and so on. But, yeah, I do think at the very least you should consider both of those options too.
Let's go on to the Cavs and the Bulls. The line right now suggests that all of Cleveland is going to play. They're favored at about 108 points, minus 5.5 over the Bulls. I don't know how much we need to, you know, we're getting really late in the season now with teams and rest, and that I think that's going to be a situation for some of the other games possibly tonight. Cleveland is right now, it looks like they're basically tied with the Celtics. They're one behind.
They're one up in the loss column.
Right, exactly. But they played two less games, it looks like, than the Celtics. So I don't know how motivated they are to win out here, to just try to get home court advantage through the playoffs. They have been struggling sort of late. Let's assume they don't rest anybody. Do you see LeBron as not a must-play in cash, but like about as good a value as you can have in cash against these Bulls team?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, Butler's a good defender, so maybe it's not the ideal spot, but... you know, the Bulls do have something to play for here. They theoretically, I mean, they're ninth right now. So if they could jump up and overtake Indiana or Miami, then, you know, that would obviously probably feel pretty good for them, given that they were kind of in win mode now going into the season. As for Cleveland, I kind of think, like, do you think in their locker room they're like, maybe we shouldn't have rested guys so much, because they're very much in danger of losing this one seed. And I guess it doesn't really matter that much, like, is facing Indiana or Miami or Milwaukee or Atlanta really that fundamentally different? Maybe it's just, you know, getting the one or two seeds so you can have home court in two rounds is really what they want. But I suspect they wouldn't mind home court in that Eastern Conference Finals if they make it that far. So I think that they're going to go out there and give it their all. This is a game they should be able to win. So I think they'll be out there.
Yeah, I see LeBron as a pretty strong player. When he's played insane minutes this year. And I think that's actually going to end up, that's been the biggest issue, is that I don't think they've rested him as much as they wanted to be honest with you. He only played 29 last game against the Spurs, but that was, I think that had turned into a blowout pretty early.
It reminds me of my kids when they get birthday money and they buy candy and they're like, my plan is to eat one piece of candy a day and make this last a month. And I'm like, okay, good luck with that, you know? And then like a day later, they're throwing up on the bathroom floor literally because they just, and I think that's how the Cavs are with LeBron. They're like, listen, you just got to sit him if you don't want to play him that night, because if he's out there, I'm going to play him 39 minutes. I know I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it, but I will. Like, if you just play him 33 minutes, like, is it that hard when you're up by 10 with 2 minutes left? Just take him out of the game? I don't know.
Yeah, they've really struggled with that. I do see him as a strong cash game play. It'll be interesting to where we spend up money, you know, between probably him or Towns or Harden. There are some interesting, you know, just sort of big money plays. It helps LeBron to be just cheaper, like 12 or 2,000 cheaper than Harden. So I think that's where, at a position that is a little more difficult to fill in small forward. I'm not sure I'd love any more of the Cavs plays here, like Irving or Love or guys like that. It's mostly just LeBron. With Butler, the Butler side of it, with the Bulls still, like you said, still fighting for that last seed. No Dwayne Wade. His usage obviously spikes without Wade on the court. could you see him playing like 40, 41 minutes in this game? Because like they're wanting to win. So we have him at 39 minutes right now. Do you think that's low?
No, I looked at that last night, and I don't think you can pencil him in for that because, you know, we've talked about getting a guy at the absolute high end of the minutes. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see him playing too much less than 39, although it's possible, particularly if the game gets out of hand. But yeah, I don't think you can just... It's not like Euless where we have this ongoing track record and blatant like game script independent usage. I think that there are tons of scenarios. I mean, especially up at that high end, losing 2 minutes is not very difficult just based on rotations or when the whistle gets blown or whatever. So no, I think it's probably fine. I think he's showing up in optimal lineups right now anyway, so I don't think it makes too big of a difference. But I wouldn't go crazy there.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting choice because you're not going to be able to fit all the four guys I talked about: Harden, right, Butler, LeBron, and Towns. And you clearly can't fit all four of them. And I think that's going to be the most difficult choice going into tonight is basically which two of those guys you feel most comfortable spending the money on. I'm not sure I have the absolute 100% answer right at this point right now, but all four I think are in good spots for their own reasons. Let's go on to the aforementioned Towns in Minnesota and the Lakers. Right now, Minnesota is -10.5. That is firmly in the get worried about blowout zone.
Yep.
We also do know that Thibodeau does play his guys huge minutes, and the Lakers are a great matchup. Do you see, really, I would say the three guys would be Rubio, Towns, and Wiggins as safer cash game plays considering matchup this is.
What about Mr. Deng?
I can't even go there with him. I'm on such a no. I just mentally not because I don't want to do it. I'll throw Deng in there too. But
you're the kind of guy who hates just getting 6x production night in night out. 44 minutes against Indiana in their last matchup.
I couldn't believe it because we actually talked about him. We talked about him in the thing, and I still wasn't convinced about how high the minutes would be. And then he went absolutely crazy on his minutes. Okay, so I'll throw Deng in there too. Do you see all four of those guys as safe considering there is some chance of blowout?
I think they'll be very, very heavily owned because it's such an excellent matchup. The Lakers have been basically allowing top five fantasy points to every position all season long. So right. I think a lot of people will give them their run tonight. I would exercise caution maybe on Rubio in particular. He really has struggled to pay these prices recently with any sort of consistency, but his price is inflated from a good run at the beginning of March and then sprinkling in those two huge games against Washington and the Lakers. I would be a little bit cautious there. I do think, you know, the 15 assists against the Lakers last game does tell me something. It tells me that the Lakers are sloppy enough on their rotations that Rubio's exploiting them. So, yeah, no, I'm talking myself into the Rubio thing, too. I can't get too overly concerned about a blowout on a short slate like this, but there's actually quite a number of terrible defenses going tonight, too, so I don't think it's the normal case where you have to just say, well, hey, everyone else is playing against Memphis and San Antonio, so... you just can't go there. Like, you do have team, you know, the Clippers are against Phoenix, Houston and Portland should be a decent game, Brooklyn, Detroit. So yeah, there's just a lot of options. So I think you can pay for all those guys if you want to. Like, if those guys wind up in your lineups, you'll feel happy about it. Our optimal lineups are sprinkling between like two and three of them in there right now. If you go higher than that, I think you'll be happy too.
Yeah, no, and I probably shouldn't have skipped over Deng so quickly. I just had this sort of like mental aversion to wanting to discuss him.
Baby, that's why you have me here to ground you, okay?
Yeah, James work, making sure those minutes are correct. The Lakers side, they looks like they're going to probably be without Ingram again. I think Brewer started last game, doesn't really play that much regardless. You looked at this team last night. Where do you stand on the Lakers guys? If they've been a little bit more consistent with their starting rotations lately between guys like Clarkson, Russell, and Randall?
They've all been kind of going back and forth between paying off and not, so it's really hard to get too overly excited. I mean, you're also just paying for all of them right now. D'Angelo Russell's pretty expensive for very erratic minutes. Clarkson's up to 6,000. I think he's actually pretty interesting. I mean, he played the full 47 minutes against Minnesota the last time they faced each other and really went off for 44 fantasy points, 35 conventional real-life points. But they also can kind of miss, too. So, you know, if you wind up with Clarkson in your optimal lineup, maybe you don't feel terrible about it, but, you know, I think you'll at least give yourself pause just because, again, what, like we talked about earlier, like, do you really want to play him over Euless or Smith when they're kind of all in the same price range? I kind of don't. I do like Julius Randle tonight. Maybe he's just a big tournament play. He hasn't been paying the price too consistently. He was terrific against Minnesota last time. Seemed to have a favorable matchup with Deng going 23-12. So he's a guy that I'm considering. But, yeah, I don't think I'd be too over the moon to have any of these guys in my cash game lineups when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I just noticed. I was looking at our system right now and where we are projecting the Timberwolves as opposed to the Vegas line. We were about 6 or 7 points just low on them. I think you're going to start seeing those guys show up a little bit more as we sort of make sure. You know, just to give some background into why we would do this, we'll use Vegas as a marker sometimes to make sure there's not a total inconsistency in the projections. Most times our projections are very, very close to the just when I say projections, I just mean the point output for a given team. You know, we go through and make sure each team has generally around 240 minutes because that's the most you can play in a basketball game. And then we just know based on all the other inputs, usage and defense versus position and whatnot, how many points the team is going to score. So, you know, most times we're within 1 or 2 points and it's fine. The Timberwolves are a team today that we are generally low on, and that point we'll just make sure that all the, you know, either give them a boost as a team or make sure that each individual player is getting the correct amount of points. So I think we'll probably see those guys start to show up a little bit more as it gets, as maybe it just as we kind of get closer to what that implied total is. All right, before we get to the later games, tell us a little bit about Fantasy Factor, one of our great sponsors for the show.
Yeah, sure. So Fantasy Factor, an exciting new DFS platform, still tipping their toe in the water trying to compete with the big boys. But the nice thing about Fantasy Factor is that their contests are a little bit smaller and the ecosystem is small enough to where the big time sharks, like our buddy Casey was texting me last night, he had 12 entries to the $220 hang time, but one big shark came in like 1st through 10th, 12th and 13th or something.
Oh yeah,
like
I got texts about that all night. Like, this guy's got the first 10 spots. Anyway, Fantasy Factor
doesn't have that, which is really, really nice, I think, especially for newer players or more casual players who just want to play, you know, a few bucks a night and not worry about if big-time sharks or, you know, people who oftentimes use optimizers like ours are cannibalizing all their lineups. Fantasy Factor has two really cool free rolls coming up for the beginning of baseball season. So that's on Sunday and Monday. They have one for both of them, $100 free rolls. You just go over there, you play, you sign up, you play against us and a bunch of our users and see if you can take home some free cash to keep playing Fantasy Factor all season long. That's fantasyfactor.com. Use promo code DFSR to get, I think, a $5 free entry ticket into a contest on a $10 deposit or more. So fantasyfactor.com. Go get signed up and we'll see you over there.
All right, 10 o'clock games. Right now, there's no line on the Clippers and the Suns. That, to me, suggests that Vegas is thinking that someone's going to rest tonight, or possibly just the whole team's going to rest. I'm not exactly sure. Rivers has already been ruled out, but having no line on this game, does that make you think that the Clippers just kind of pack it in and just say, not against the Suns tonight, we'll just take our chances? I'm not sure they can do too much more wiggling around with their playoff seeding looking at it. Is it too early to just kind of like make any real judgments on the Clippers?
Probably. I think we're just going to need to know who sits. I think part of this too, and maybe, I don't know if it would move the line that much, but Austin Rivers is out tonight. And, you know, that's going to free up some minutes around the wings, obviously. The Clippers are strange because they don't really play guys at, like, other than Chris Paul, everyone else kind of just does a little bit of everything. So, yeah. You know, I think we could see big minutes from Crawford. He was relatively heavily owned last game and was kind of a disappointment. So, you know, maybe when people go out there, it's not that bad. He scored almost 20 fantasy points. But I think when people are going out there to make lineups tonight, he'll definitely be on a bunch of radars. He was excellent a few games ago in Utah in somewhat similar situation. So, yeah, I think you just monitor it, keep an eye on the news. Certainly if we get multiple sits here, we'll feel a lot better. If either Blake or Chris sits and the other one plays, the other becomes an excellent play. So a lot to keep an eye on here. But as of right now, I'm not anticipating probably going too deep on this game unless we know for sure that people are locked into their minutes. And the thing is, we just might not too. Like if at 7:30 we haven't heard any Clippers Phoenix news, I'm probably just going to sit on it and just play other people instead.
Yeah, Paul, because you made a good point about, like, you know, just in terms of the guys that are playing, the Suns are a great matchup for kind of whoever, if you could trust the game was going to be close and that they were going to get a full allotment of run, the Suns are one of the very best matchups you can have in DFS, but I think the uncertainty is probably going to be just too much. And even if they were to go full strength, they'd be like a 15-point favorite or something like that. The Suns are horrible. So I think either way, you're running into significant risk, whether the guys don't play or the game's just completely over by the second quarter. Because again, I've been watching more Suns games lately just because we've had just exposure to them in DFS. God, are they bad. Like, they but the good news on them is, and the reason we have exposure is, they are bad, but they play their guys a million minutes. You mentioned Ulis is a guy that they're just playing 40 minutes a game. Booker sat out last game, I think, because of rest. He should be back tonight. How do you view this? How do you think
they resting him for?
Because they're trying to lose. We go through this over and over and over again. They're like, that game could be close. I forget who they're playing. I was like, oh, maybe it was the Hawks.
Atlanta.
Yeah. They're like, Hawks are kind of banged up too. This one could be closer than we want it to be. Why don't you sit tonight, Booker? They played with like eight guys. Like, they rested him so they could just play an 8-man rotation featuring guys like Jarrell Eddie. And I can't remember.
So you really think they're thinking that way? Like, when he was going off for 70 against Boston, you think the execs were in the booth just like rolling their eyes at each other? Like, come on.
Well, the game wasn't close. The reason they didn't care is because they were down 20 and they just kind of left him in there to keep gunning. So, like, they do not want to win any games. And so, anyway, but the guys that are on the court play a lot of minutes. Let's say the Clippers were not even playing with a full complement of their guys. Do you think the Suns, with guys like Ulis, maybe TJ Warren, the guys that aren't Marcus Chris, sort of, not really, do those guys become safe just because of how many minutes they're playing them at this point?
Oh, Chris is a little bit up and down for me. I mean, he's also not super, super cheap. He's right around 5,000. He's been quite terrible the last three games, and I don't know if that's just a cooks in the kitchen issue or what, but I wouldn't really want to be relying on him. I know he had a nice solid stretch before that. The other guys you mentioned, though, I think are pretty solid options. I mean, Ulis strikes me as a guy who's going to have, you know, kind of a FanDuel Classic 80%+ ownership tonight. As far as the other Suns, yeah, I think if we get words on some starting lineups, like TJ Warren, been playing an absolute ton of minutes. I think if one of the other big men does sit, maybe Chris, maybe Derek Jones, definitely a bunch of guys you want to keep an eye on. But yeah, I think Ulis and Warren in particular are two guys that you might see in huge ownership from in cash games, and doubly so if the Clippers wind up sitting anyone good.
Warren has been great the last two games. Got a definite usage boost last game with no Booker. This note actually says it was Booker's ankle. I don't believe that's totally the case, really, and I could have sworn it said rest before, but whatever. Let me ask you a question. So TJ Warren, the matchup on paper against the Clippers does not look that good, though again I suspect that this is not the full season's worth of Clippers that we're going to be seeing on defense. Warren at 6,600 or Wiggins at 7,000, right around the same price on FanDuel. Our system hasn't separated, but I'm wondering if it's a little closer than it seems.
I think it's definitely a little closer than it seems. I think it's worth noting with the Clippers, like, even though they've played kind of a slow pace, they are a top 10 matchup for opposing small forwards, just because that's a position that they've for some reason just decided not to roster anyone at since we've been doing this. So they actually aren't. Like, you can picture some of their lineups, right, too, where they're running kind of those three guard sets and stuff. They really don't have anyone to cover a conventional three, because then they go right up to Blake from there. So I actually do think that could wind up being a pretty reasonable spot, but I do think Wiggins is probably just a little bit better. You know, just a little bit more consistent. Probably the matchup is just slightly better. Although there's a blowout risk too. So I guess it depends on how much you trust the minutes from Warren if the game gets out of hand.
This is another game.
I tend to trust him.
This is another game that I'm gonna need to see the Vegas line on to just make a in the ballpark judgment about some of the plays. And so I'm hoping that we get that. Usually they'll make some decision by, you know, middle of the morning, middle of the afternoon, on just where to kind of set a baseline on expectation for the two teams. And that's another one that I'm just gonna want to take a look at. And that becomes really important this part of the season, because when you're dealing with so many uncertain pieces around how teams are playing and sort of just like late season changes that have been made, it is, I keep saying this again, like, we don't model it all. Our inputs are not Vegas. They don't model completely off Vegas, but it is a nice way to just make sure you're in the ballpark, and that's another one that I'm going to want to see. The last game on the slate, the 10:30 game, I suspect this one will be a popular one, is Houston and Portland. Houston only -1. The game is a crazy total of 229 and expected to be pretty close. Not a ton of Houston or Portland guys coming into lineups right now. Does that make you concerned when that's the case? Just because this is by far the most amount of implied points on the slate.
Yes and no. I think it's obviously always worth looking at that kind of thing. And I, you know, again, I think there actually will be some guys that are creeping up towards the top of lineups tonight for us here. Patrick Beverley comes to mind. You know, I do think Harden ultimately might get there, although he's just really, really expensive and there's a lot of good value tonight. I think it's also just when you take a look at teams like this, price actually just matters a lot. So, like, this game could have the highest total, but like, for instance, the Portland guys, they're just kind of priced how they should be priced, right? Like, Lillard is $9,300. Is he actually even a $9,300 fantasy player? I'm not convinced of that.
No.
And he's also up against Patrick Beverley. So while maybe, yeah, sure, a lot of points are going to be scored in this game, if a bunch of those are going to be scored by Lillard, what we're left with after that is just kind of regular guys out there doing their thing. One guy I kind of hope that we wind up getting higher on as we approach lock is CJ McCollum. And by higher, I mean just like, you know, as we're tweaking knobs and stuff, just because I do think that he's a guy that a lot of people will look at. I do think our inputs are pretty much correct on him. We have him at 36 minutes tonight. But I think that, you know, sometimes the system has a difficult time dealing with the fact that Patrick Beverley doesn't always guard the opposing point guard. He just tends to guard whoever the better guy is. So I think there's no doubt he'll be on Lillard tonight to try to stifle the offensive production there. And I think that'll leave McCollum with Harden. And McCollum's a guy definitely really, really matchup dependent. Like, in a good matchup like he had against Denver, he'll go off for 50 points. But if he gets shadowed by a better defender, he can kind of disappear. So I do think he's a guy worth giving a strong consideration for cash games. Certainly tremendous upside. I don't know if we'll wind up landing on him for the actual optimal number one lineup or not, but someone I'm thinking about for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be weird, and he's not in there now. And again, there are some other good plays. I suspect that Harden has pretty high ownership just because it's a matchup. It's a good matchup. He's Harden. He's the best fantasy player on the slate, kind of by far. But you know, unfortunately, that the sites make us factor in his price as well, and he's pretty expensive. So that's going to be one where I know we'll get questions on if he's not there. Questions specifically like, are we fading Harden tonight? And that could be the case, and I fully admit that never feels great. Lou Williams has been playing a lot more minutes with no Ryan Anderson. He's still coming off the bench, so that always worries me a little bit. But how much do you trust his last two games, 30 and 32 minutes, as the sixth man, because they moved Gordon into the starting lineup?
I think I kind of trust it. I think, you know, perhaps more importantly, a lot of people in the industry are trusting it. He's had relatively heavy ownership. So as you look at the guys who you're comparing him against, you're taking on less risk on a bench guy than normal because he's kind of been accepted within the industry or whatever. Yeah, another guy on the list. I think, again, with so many different great options tonight, I don't know if that's exactly where you wind up when it's all, you know, when it's time for lock, but sure, a guy I'm definitely looking at.
Well, he's showing up in 100% of lineups right now. So this is the uncertainty around this slate is just going to be, you know, making sure we have the right amount of points going in on teams, making sure that we're accepting the right amount of risk. Like, you know, you said Williams coming off the bench could be a little more risky than we want to in cash games, but he's still coming pretty cheap, only 46.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people are playing him too, so I don't think it's too terrible. And actually, shooting guard is a position, you know, there's a lot of depth at a lot of positions tonight. Shooting guard isn't one of them quite as much because after you get past, I mean, just we can just run off some of the names here, right? So like Jamal Crawford, is that really where you want to be? Even if Rivers misses the game, not totally sure. He's basically a full-on punt at 3,600, so maybe. You get KCP against Brooklyn, obviously a great matchup, but the track record's been very spotty. Eric Gordon, reasonable option, semi-spotty track record as well. And then after that, you're like almost fully off a cliff. You're like in the Caris LeVert, Alan Crabb territory. So yeah, it's a very shallow position on a night where there's a lot of depth at other positions. So
that's why
on nights like that, you just want to go cheap and just get away from it.
That's why I think you see Harden with pretty high ownership, just because that list you just gave is kind of gross. And when everyone else is looking on that list is going to look gross for everybody as well as us. So
yeah, well, and McCollum, I think McCollum winds up with high ownership as well.
Yeah, it could be. All right, we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to get you started, keep winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. We will have no podcast tomorrow for Friday. I'm going to be out for the day on very, very important business, so I'm not going to be around to record the podcast. So we'll be back again on Monday or Tuesday doing our thing. But in the meantime, please check out DFSR.com/MLB, and that's going to get you that free 10-day trial to both our baseball system and the basketball system. We put it all under one ownership. I still got DFS in the brain. Membership umbrella. So we don't section it off like some sites do with between sport or provider. It's all there for $29.95 a month, free for 10 days, and then you just pay that price afterwards. All set to go. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend, I guess, and then I'll talk to you next week. I mean, I'm going to talk to you in 2 seconds.
I'll break because we're weekend to talk tomorrow. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'll miss you, buddy. I know you're doing important stuff out there, so have fun.
I'm going to Medieval Times. I'll talk to you later, everybody.